Good day, RPG, fantasy, and art lovers! Do you love high fantasy and the amazing art that goes along with it? Well, we have your source for amazing t-shirts, sketchbooks, and bookmarks, all done by pop culture architect Talon Dunning! Take a look at his store at Etsy.com/shop/TheFantasticGallery. Talon has his great work there for great prices. If you like fighters, wizards, paladins, even game masters, he's got the shirt for you to show your love of all of your characters. Go ahead and take a look at his store, The Fantastic Gallery, and grab a piece of art today. The Fantastic Gallery at Etsy.com.
Here we go again, my loyal listeners. It's time for another Achieving Reality, the podcast. This week, the guys talk with Tori Montgomery, actress extraordinaire, about Gwinnett Theatre, auditions in a mall, and what she's up to. Wonderful woman. We need more like her on this show. So, sit back, grab a can of naughty soda, and enjoy this week's Achieving Reality, the podcast. See you at the end.
It's Swedish.
Yeah.
It's Swedish coffee. The Swedes are known for their coffee.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta tell you, one project I'm working on, have you guys heard of The Other Side of Georgia Productions?
Well, only from you.
Just a film company, local. They're working on a trilogy of movies about zombies.
Ambitious.
Ambitious, and they've
zombies
got one.
No,
one is almost finished filming. It's called Test Group. This is the first one. It explains kind of how the outbreak happens.
I was going to say, is Patient Zero in that one?
There's several Patient Zeros in that one.
Oh, wow.
There's one that's very interesting. She's about 10 years old, and she plays a terminally ill patient who's being injected with a substance that is supposed to be... Now, I don't know how much I'm legally allowed to say since it's signed an NDA, but... Since there's videos and documentaries kind of already on YouTube of this, so I'll just give this
there.
Detail.
She gets
injected with a substance that she doesn't realize that, well, her father is a guinea pig, a governmental experiment of a regenerative drug.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is it backfires.
Oh.
And what happens is this poor little girl who's got cancer in the hospital, she's dying. Daddy has been giving her this regenerative drug. But as soon as she dies, then, Daddy.
He regenerates.
Daddy. Where'd everybody go?
Wow.
But the whole hospital people start coming back. There's a whole scene in the hospital, which is great.
Oh my
of people,
gosh.
You know, zombies. But anyway, it's going to be a fun movie. And they're almost done. And I play a spy who works for a... company that knows what's going on.
With air quotes.
Okay.
Yeah. All the pictures I've seen so far have been you in scrubs.
Well, that's because I'm a spy. I'm in a hospital posing as a doctor, but I know
with
who's being
needle.
Given with this regenerative drug.
Well, you got a promotion.
And
from
I
a
know
nurse.
What's going on.
Hey.
Wow.
But I can't say too much more about that.
That's good because at least it gets people interested in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it's filmed
and
all over
a
different parts of Georgia? Or
Atlanta.
Just
Atlanta.
Area?
Mostly Atlanta. Mostly
okay.
Atlanta. Well, cool. You know, Mableton, kind of like out there.
We've been there.
We played Clayton. Yeah. Clayton State College is where they film the hospital scenes. It's a nursing school down there, and they have an entire room that looks like patients' beds and a lobby that looks like a cafeteria. Well, it is a cafeteria. And you get...
I used to live down in that area, so.
So yeah, it was nice. And yeah, I'm again, not giving too much away.
Yes.
There's a website, othersideofgeorgia.webs.com.
Webs.com.
Yeah. And there's docs out there, and the director speaks, and one of the production assistants, a lead camera.
I'm assuming they have like a YouTube channel as
they
well.
They do. They have also created a television series, not a web series, a television series called Immortals Atlanta, about an entire society of supernatural beings, and there's It's like its own little world where you have, like, it's like the Gangs of New York, but with werewolves.
It's kind of World of Darkness.
World of Darkness. Okay. Werewolves, I like her idea ghouls, better. Yeah, Gangs and they're all kind of this fighting for this like dominance, mm-hmm. you know, in the world of the supernatural. I play a fae, a dark fae.
Oh, cool!
And their makeup selections are great. So they're really a promising production company here. And
I had to turn it on.
Keith Bailey is the creator, CEO, executive producer, and all that. He's a great guy. And Albert Roberts is his partner in crime.
So they're going for an actual television series.
Yes, they're talking with Stars.
Ooh.
And possibly NBC. But I think they already have, and have told me, they already got an offer from Hulu Plus.
That's cool.
To be on there.
They're
to have it done. They've already written a 13-episode season one.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really exciting.
And when is this supposed to come out?
Well, they start filming in the fall.
Oh, wow.
So maybe by the end of 2015.
Okay.
Yes. So nice. Okay. Sorry. Test Group is due to be released September of this year. So,
oh, that's not too far away.
Yeah. See, that's when they going to start production on other side the Immortals.
Well, they want to finish a project and then start a new one.
Yeah.
I don't know how people work that way. You do have a web series, though, right?
Yes. In fact, I was just there today getting a costume fitting for. This Suspension of Disbelief, and it's a game-based web series, and it has like all these different characters that have different levels of power.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a rogue. So
is it based on an actual game that people are playing, or is it
it's an original story that has game elements to it.
Okay.
It's an original story. And they have a website too, Head Games Entertainment.
Headgames-podcast.com.
They also created a web series called Star Command, which is very if you blend Star Trek, Babylon 5, Battlestar Galactica together with a whole lot of humor, then you have Star Command. They just got $30,000 in funding.
Wow.
For Suspension of Disbelief.
Yep, a new kind of web series.
There you go. Suspension of Disbelief. Yep. They are building a set. That tells you that they have got some money in the bank.
Man. Nice. Yeah. Or somebody knows a guy who's into lumber or something.
Or both. You know, they're actually building a tavern for the tavern scenes that are going to be filmed next couple of weeks. So it's just stuff heating up in Atlanta. Even the, you know, the...
Could have just hooked them up with the people at the RenFest.
Well, I think they do. I think they are kind of... They go along with the RenFest. You know what I mean? There's actors
First, there's no good time to shoot at the RenFest.
Yeah, but you can use it outside of the RenFest. They rent the area out.
Do they?
Yeah.
They have everything still standing?
Yeah, yeah. It's permanent. Yeah, they do weddings and stuff there.
So who else is involved in Suspension of Disbelief?
Benjamin Mordman is the creator. He's the writer and director. Kevin Kressel is production manager, I think. He's also... Forgive me, I don't know all the titles. I know that he's been doing the mass communication with everybody. So I'm thinking he's like production manager in that vein. I don't know. Local actors.
Trademark.
There's a few, couple of SAG actors involved in this, making this a SAG project. So that's good. But everybody else involved has been, you know, worked with local web series, Atlanta Theater. Because you know how you get these little families, like a theater family, and then they're kind of like connected over here on this area and these projects. And, you know, I'm working with about 6 or 7 other people I've already worked with before. Several people from the now defunct North Fulton Drama Club, which was a theater up in Roswell, who they mainly did Shakespeare plays.
Oh, real actors.
Well, yeah. I was in one of those Shakespeare plays.
I can't imagine.
Real actor.
I just can't imagine.
Yes.
I would.
And there's a handful of names. I don't know if it's okay to name drop.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Alyssa Jackson, who is involved in the Suspension of Disbelief. She was one of the board members and directors and creators of North Fulton Drama Club. And, you know, there was several people involved in that. And a couple of them have left, you know, and gone their ways. And she's been kind of manning the ship, as it were, for a while, and I think it's getting to be, you know. But she's involved in this. Patrick Hill, who is also a well-known stage actor and, you know, just all-around great guy, is, again, I don't know many people's film backgrounds in this. I just know their theater backgrounds because I'm in the theater and I see them all the time. Chelsea Steverson, who was with North Fulton for a while, I mean, she's dynamite. She works at Actors Express and... You know, all the actors I know in here just have been stage actors or still stage actors. They're kind of migrating into film now. So,
yeah, Charles had mentioned something about that when he was here, that a lot of the acting community in Atlanta is mostly stage-based.
Mostly, because we've had a stage history here for 50 years, you know.
Yeah, and we've just really been hit with the
film
movie
in the last five.
Well,
yeah.
we've had a few here,
yeah, but not like
not hiring locals. They bring in people from L.A. and they use, locals for day player and extra roles, right. But now it's being thought of.
You know, the guy with the banjo on the porch.
Yeah, totally. But it's bringing it in now, so they're having to train more people, mm-hmm. To say, hey, look, L.A., we can do as good a job as you, if not better,
Do you know much about Get in Roswell, the Georgia Ensemble Theater?
I know who they are.
You are?
And
have you worked with them at all?
Not yet, no. Not yet. Oh, they are one of the older theaters, and naturally the older theaters with a reputation have more people involved. It's more competitive.
Yeah.
To get in, and it's just a lot of times it's just who you know. Newer theaters that are trying to build a company that don't have a reputation, that are kind of lower on the totem pole, they're bringing in a lot of new hungry actors that want to get that experience in the background and things like that.
There was what was the theater we went to that was over by the High Museum of Art?
This is the one downstairs.
Horizon or something like that.
Hertz Theater?
Yeah, Hertz.
Hertz, okay, yeah.
Well, that's still part of the Alliance.
Yeah.
Oh, it is? Okay,
yeah,
We saw Sex in the Second City years ago, but that's still part of the Alliance. It's a small theater. Now, there was another smaller theater, actually, in the Marietta Square.
Theater in the Square.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
But it didn't...
Oh, it's gone.
It's, yeah.
30 years. They were there for 30 years.
I don't know why they would have gone. It was a nice little venue.
Well, money.
Yeah,
I guess so.
That's why Georgia Shakes is gone. They were $300,000 in debt.
Ooh. Wow. Crazy.
And you know what killed them? And I know the backstory of this. They're a Lort company, which is required by contract through Equity to hire so many Equity actors per season and pay them.
Wow.
Including the costumers and stage managers and all that. When they signed a contract, renewed their contract in 2007, money was flowing, economy was good, they were doing well. When the economy tanked, they still had a 10-year contract to have to fulfill.
Wow.
Instead of signing, a shorter contract, which they could have probably done a 5-year. I don't know much about that, but I just heard this secondhand from a member of ASO, who's part of that whole fiasco that has been going on with Woodruff and the arts and the funding and the lockout and all that wonderful stuff. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, but they were stuck with a contract. I mean, people were trying to say, well, they overspent, they were lavish. Well, yeah, they were lavish, but there was a time they had that money for that stuff. But when, everything went, washed out, they were stuck with a contract
that they had to fulfill.
Yeah. And they're, it's kind of like being stuck between a rock and a hard place. But, there's ways to learn from all kinds of things.
It's pretty amazing that you say that, because like when I was growing up, it seemed like my folks we always go to the Theater of the Stars. So we would go to the productions at the Civic Center. We would go to productions of the Fox, and a lot of young people today, I say this because it seems like as we get older, I think we have a better appreciation for what people do in the acting field, whether it's theater or whether it's in the movies.
When I was a kid, I just wanted to be a star. You have no idea what it takes to get there. And then you put in some years and you realize, wow, this really takes work. This is work.
Yeah.
And, I'm a little older now and hopefully a little wiser. But
we're older, we're just not wiser.
Well, it's all about the passion. If you have a passion
for the art,
then you'll stick with it. If you don't, if you're just interested in, I want to be a movie star, you'll fall to the wayside.
I want to do that. You're going to. I
tried to tell some people that in high school. It's like, oh, I'm in a band. We're going to be famous. I'm like, that's the only reason you're in the band?
Just to be famous? And
basically, like,
a lot of them go into it for that.
You should probably get a trade.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to school.
Not that you can't play those drums very well. You can play the drums very well. But if you're in it for just because you're wanting fame and fortune, then you might want to get a backup.
But, you know, going back to the Georgia Shakes thing, one reason I learned you know, kind of about that is that Live Arts Theater, who is actually based in Beaufort, I'm working with them on a stage production of the complete works of William Shakespeare, Abridged. And this is a high-energy farce incorporating all 37 Shakespeare plays into one 97-minute production.
Wow.
Oh, geez. Yes,
it's going to be fun. It's hilarious. It's, I encourage you to come see it. If it's just belly laughs and it's just, you know, I mean, there's nothing serious about it. I mean, you look at Hamlet and you're like, oh, it's so serious. But they take this and they really, you're going, oh, my God, really? They're finding the jokes and everything.
So how close is this going to be to the Reduced Shakespeare Company version? I'm assuming it's the same play.
If it's the same script, then it'll probably be... Well, what they do is they... I know they update it every so often because there's so many contemporary pop culture and very present-day references that are throughout, just here and there. You know, whatever's happening today, you know, in lieu of something that happened...
I think want to tailor it to the performers as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's this one African-American performer in our cast. It's only a cast of three actors that do all this. Mm-hmm. He makes a joke about something about Othello being black, and I go... And there's like, why can't we just do it in blackface? And you're, and of course we have an African American actor in there. And there's a way he picks up the joke, kind of, and runs with it on this. You know, there's little stuff like that that you just throw in.
Because the production I saw, they didn't have an African American gentleman in the production.
Right.
So when it comes time to do Othello, they're stymied.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, you can tailor it up to your cast. You can tailor it to, you know, the times. But the overall story is that three people are putting on the entire Shakespeare plays in 97 minutes. Or making some kind of reference to them in some capacity.
Right.
Oh, they blend Titus Andronicus with Julia Child's cooking show.
Yeah.
That's
stuff
crazy.
Like that, yes. Welcome to the Gory Gourmet. They have to chop off the rapist's head, and Lavinia has her hands chopped off and no tongue. And it's just, it's just funny. It's just hilarious. And I present... the audience with a human head pie with lady fingers.
Oh.
It's just, it is. It has its moments, you know.
Oh, pretty funny.
That sounds funny.
Yeah, it'll be great. But Live Arts, they're new, like I said, but you know, again, their philosophy is we don't spend more than what we have.
Yeah.
Which means they actually made their Kickstarter funding and then they had a matching donor to help build a theater inside Gwinnett Place Mall. Which is still under construction right now.
Oh my God!
That's what I was going to ask because I was reading that.
Excuse me.
It's all right. I don't mind being kicked.
Okay.
Especially by some kick-ass boots.
Oh, they're awesome.
But when I was reading that the auditions were in the mall, the first thing that popped into my head was the old stage in the middle of the mall, and you've got what was it, a Tiffany or something? You know, that did the mall shows. So it was like you guys were out there just doing it in front of everybody. There were people sitting there going, hey, look, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I mean, were you in one of the empty anchor stores or something, or were you literally out in the middle of the mall?
They'll take over one of the empty stores. They've got a lease with the Lane Bryant store, which, mm-hmm. you know, was a plus size clothing mm-hmm. store. And it's like this big old section over here and big old section over here, which they're trying to divide into like a small lobby, concessions. They even have bathrooms. And then the performance space over here, which they'll build like a little black box space.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but they've had to run into everything to do with the county, with fire marshal permits, drop tile ceilings. They had to totally get rid of all those. And the sprinkler heads, which were pointing down like they do in malls.
Turned around, yeah.
Flipping up. So they're dealing with all kinds of permit issues and time crunches. But there's an old space that was in a department store kind of adjacent to that, which was Parisian's. One time, and then it was taken over by Belk, and it's all empty now. It's just empty. They've been performing in there, and the mall has given them a break and allowed them to use that space without paying rent since they've already got a lease with other space that just needs work. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got to get a construction company to come in there and like bulldoze, build a wall, partition it, paint, tear down the dressing rooms in the back, build a green room. It's just kind of, they know they've got a lot of work, but
they got to make it nice.
Oh, yeah, they got to make it workable, you know, functioning theater. But like I said, I know Becca. And then Becca Parker, if you can hear me, you're listening to this, all right. She's not going to get in the same trouble that some of these other places have done by, you know, spending more than they have.
Yeah.
You know, anticipating, you know, oh, we'll make this back. Maybe, maybe not. That's, I think it's a smart business model. I mean, just it's a slow-going process, but it's going to work out better in the long run.
This is a good production for that, though. This is all actor-driven. It's not
actor-driven, and it's just props.
One set and props.
Yeah.
Coming to Carrot Top Show, but intelligent.
Yeah.
And not as many steroids.
Yeah, it's very vaudevillian. It's just very, you bring in little props, deal your thing, then bring it off, and then, you know, it's kind of...
This is a play that started off in Renfest.
Yeah.
The three guys, and they've done an American history version, a history of the world, abridged as well.
Cool.
It's, well, the show itself is kind of the jewel of the whole thing.
Oh, all right. So then you did your, because I'm going to get back to it. So you did your auditions in the Belk?
No, they had a, there was a different building inside, a different shop.
Oh, okay.
Inside of the mall they did their auditions in.
You make it sound seedy, like it's a scene from Fame.
No.
Like it's what?
They hadn't planned to use the Belk space. See, it's sort of a backup space.
Oh, okay.
And it's one of those, like, oh, here we go back to the Belk space. But the auditions were just some little empty... Gwinnett Mall has a ton of empty stores.
Yeah.
I mean, they do.
All right, go ahead. I asked my question.
No, this is something... You just sit out. So I'm cheating and looking at your Facebook page.
Okay.
So how do you know Russ Ivey?
Theater. Mutual friends in the theater. I've seen him. He performed in The Full Monty at what was Marietta Players that took over the old theater in the square space last year, and now they're gone. I'm trying to talk about a theater that's still around, you know. It's like, I wish I could say, hey, this is still here, but that was... but Russ has been on my Facebook friends list. You know, we probably have like 100 mutual friends, and... You know, he's kind of done some work at Onstage Atlanta, and I've done some work down there. And I know he works a lot with Henry Players, which is down there. I think it's down in Morrow, is it? Or Stockbridge?
Some,
or give
yeah,
or take. One of those places. One of these days, I'll get down there. So I live in Kennesaw, and Stockbridge is here. Like, you know, it's like, no, dude, I don't think so. But yeah, we've just met through mutual friends and through seeing productions that he's in.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get him on the podcast at some point.
Yeah,
Russ and I went to high school together.
Awesome, okay.
We grew up there in the same stomping grounds at Stockbridge and Morrow.
Right.
Graduated the same high school.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a good guy.
And this is what he's become.
Hey, that's why I want someone more successful.
You've got your own show, man. Don't knock it.
And you can too. $19.95 a month on Podbean.
It's funny, like you said, how you work with the theater groups and they try, with certain productions, try to put in more current stuff.
Yeah, a lot of them are adaptable that way. You know, certain things, like if you're going to do Tennessee Williams, example, that wouldn't fly. Because everything he wrote about was attitudes, mores, behaviors, and whatnot. It's specifically from like the 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the South. Mm-hmm. That's not going to work in Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
It's very, very place and time based stories, which I love because they're still universal stories. I mean, Streetcar Named Desire, I mean, works today. It's going to work in 100 years.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, Stanley Kowalski and Blanche. Everybody knows a Blanche. Everybody knows a Stanley. And
that's one you could get in a little trouble trying to adapt because there are theater purists who would rake you over the coals for that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think it's what they call public domain yet. I don't think it's old enough. Is it old enough? I don't know. It may be.
Streetcar? I don't think so.
No, it's not old enough. It has to be like 75 years old and older.
Yeah.
To be, you can play around. That's why you can play around with Shakespeare. That's what North Fulton Drama Club did. Mm-hmm. They had a 60s themed for Henry V, which was real
that
cool.
Would be funny. Matt,
I was in that. I played a teenage boy. I played Falstaff's page.
Oh, God.
And they had these little army fatigues, and I had this short, you know, like hair like this, short cropped and longer in the front. And they had the women dressed in the little sharp Cold War era, little buttoning down. They had the French all in blue and the English all in khaki and red. And then they had, you know, Henry V and his, looked like the presidential cabinet with the Kennedy era haircuts. And it was real, sharp, and it worked, and they had the 60s theme music going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. But like, see, you can do that with Shakespeare. You can do that with Shakespeare. And I've seen the Georgia Shakes do As You Like It is a Summer of Love. You can almost see that hair, you know, with the flowing, hippie era. It's like, when the moon is in the seventh house, you know, and all the little hippie girls and the dreadlocks with the African-American actors. And that was As You Like It. And that you're just sitting there. You can get away with that, you know, with something like that. But, yeah, Tennessee Williams, I don't know. I don't think you can get away with that yet.
Oh, yeah. I saw them try to modernize hair. That wasn't very good.
Well, it doesn't fly. It's so 60s. Huh?
It's called Rent.
There you go.
That wasn't very good either, in my opinion, though. But no, I actually
Rent
saw
Rent is New York in the 90s.
Yeah, I saw a modernized hair, and I was like, no.
Yeah, and so you could modernize the Greek plays, the Greek tragedy. I mean, it's universal themes, whether it happens in 5th century BC or yesterday, you know?
It's basically an episode of Maury.
Pretty much. Yeah.
You are not the father.
That's how every episode of Maury ends, isn't it?
Well, we saw, this was years ago, we saw an abbreviated version of Phantom of the Opera in Las Vegas at the Bellagio.
Abbreviated?
Yeah,
abbreviated.
Instead of being its 2 hour, however long it is normally, it was like an hour and a half. Because they took out like the boating scene and a lot of the lead-up stuff.
Oh, okay.
And they had all the musical bits in, and then, you know, the stuff that was around it. And when the chandelier falls, we were literally sitting under the chandelier. And we were in Vegas. And so it's the size of this ceiling.
Yeah, yeah. Bet.
And it falls, and you're like, whoa!
It's like, oh my gosh, I hope that doesn't follow me.
And then after it gets to its lowest point, it stops, it bounces, and then shoots back up, and you can feel the air pull off your body.
Wow.
It was that big. And it was really cool because he's coming out through the middle of it, like here, and hanging and like swinging from a rope. And that was just like, this is amazing. You know, so.
Sounds like some club events I've been to.
Yeah.
Oh, the Moulin Rouge. That's some fucking air.
It was an amazing show.
It was pretty neat, though, but I think like that the hotel had made this theater specifically for this production.
They probably did.
It's there permanently.
And it was just like, oh my God.
Or at least until, you know, something else comes along to make 10 times more money. But it was amazing.
I've seen a production. It wasn't the Andrew Lloyd Webber version. It was another production of Phantom of the Opera.
Phil's. Yeah.
It was a company from London, but definitely nothing that makes it any more legitimate than any other one. But they did the chandelier scene where all the actors came to the front of the stage and was telling people, the way the chandelier's falling, and then a chandelier behind them falls on one of the actors.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a nice little twist on it. But they're getting the audience involved.
That's kind of cool.
Wasn't anybody getting out of their seats and running for cover.
Yeah.
Thankfully. I'm assuming with the complete works of William Shakespeare, you'll be playing all the female roles this time?
Not at all.
Oh, good.
In fact, they flip-flopped the characters where I'm actually playing all the male roles, most of them. I'm playing Hamlet, Titus Andronicus, Macbeth.
Oh my gosh.
Antony.
Doing the opening narration then?
Part of it. And I also narrate the comedies. My character comes out with a typewritten manuscript. And I'm basically reading off, kind of rattling off like a stage presentation kind of a thing, while the other two actors are flip-flopping costumes and doing their little lines as their characters. And it talks about Midsummer Night's Dream and Tempest and Twelfth Night and As You Like It. And it blends all the common elements of those comedies into one little page of comedic. Because more than one character, female, like, does a drag act. She dresses as a boy and goes and seduces somebody or becomes page to this person. So it's just the stories that overlap. So I'm out there sort of narrating this little bit. And in a minute, the two guys got one very tall, wonderfully talented African-American actor named Dee Norris, who's also a dancer, plays Juliet. And he plays Ophelia. He also plays Hamlet's mother.
Oh my goodness.
And also plays Macduff.
Macduff.
Yeah. And the other member of the cast named Michael Carroll. He's doing Julius Caesar. He's coming out like the Godfather, doing this number. And he does his, he's the beginning narrator, which he does a very exaggerated British accent in the beginning. And then before intermission, he's forced to improv because our characters, my character and Dee's, I chase him off stage and he's left there kind of by himself. So he's got to find a way to finish up the time. You know, it's only about a minute. So he goes on and does these wonderful little like improvisational soliloquies, which is great. He did one during rehearsal. He did one from Casablanca. Oh. He just, you know, of all the joints in the world, why did she have to come to this one? You know, he's just great character voice and, you know, personality like that. It's going to be fun. It really is. There's two casts, I should mention. Two casts, a Friday night cast and a Saturday night cast. Because our beloved director couldn't decide. She said, there's so many talented people coming in to work on this. And we all had this similar conflicts with time and certain dates and stuff. And they all managed to kind of fit together.
I was going
to
say, so it sounds like it worked out.
It worked out. So mm-hmm. She's got cast A and cast B, Fridays and Saturdays. And I'm in cast B on Saturday night. So.
Wow. Very yeah. important.
And very, very diverse cast, too. Very different selections of types. So
I didn't know who that was.
It's going to, yeah, it works out really nice.
That's kind of like the battle.
You put it on silent and it vibrates, and then I set it next to the recorder.
That's okay. The microphones are up here.
I know. I'm aware.
It's like I went to a ballet on Friday night. I went and saw Cinderella.
Uh-huh.
And it was my friend's daughter, and she got to play the role as Cinderella.
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, was very excited, but they had a Friday night cast,
mm-hmm.
Saturday, and they had a Sunday cast.
Cool.
So it was pretty neat. And some of the, since they didn't have many men, some of the women had to dress up as
boys. Yeah, I've done that.
I was in it. I played the donkey number two.
you were right here recording the podcast.
That works out that way sometimes, you know? It's especially when they have usually an imbalance of women actors auditioning and more male characters. Depending on what it is, you could just flip-flop it. You know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we've had that problem.
But for some reason, there's not a lot of men ballet dancers. That's the one thing that this particular...
Well, there's some, but they don't... They're not actors. You know what I mean?
Right.
They dance, but they don't act. But Dee, who I mentioned here, Dee Norris is dancer and actor. He's about 6'3". This skinny.
Oh, wow.
He played Dracula in our production of Dracula, and I played Margaret Sullivan, who is a victim of Dracula. But he and I together are like this, standing next to each other.
So if he's going to attack you, I have to pick you up?
Pretty much, yeah. He's either got to lean down or he'd lift me up.
It'd be a great scene. She gets ducking down and running around his legs. And he's like,
get down on his knees. Come here. Shuffle, shuffle, shuffle.
Well, no, that's kind of the actor you want, the real tall, skinny guy to play Dracula.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, real angular, kind of a narrow face. I mean, he already had it, and he came in, just that gaze. I don't know where he's from. He has a slight accent a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's not from America. I could be wrong, but I haven't asked him. But, yeah, he's just got just an imposing presence. And the bald head, it just rocked it.
Wow. Have you worked with any famous actors or actresses?
No, only the infamous ones.
Exactly. No.
Charles Davis.
Nobody well known, as, at least outside of Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm working my way up. I'm trying to get into commercial work, TV. I know several actors who've had, you know, the pleasure of acting with Liam Neeson in Taken 3 or Robert De Niro in that thing they just did recently. And,
Robert Prokko was in Taken 3.
Prokko was in Taken 3. My agent, one of my agents,
or
Stephanie
Charles
Klein, was
in
that.
The Kidnapping of Mr. Heineken? No. Yeah, mm-hmm. Mr. Heineken. Yeah.
I'm working on it. Getting there.
Well, the opportunities will be more forthcoming now.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe we have our Pinewood Studios.
They're getting ready to expand it already.
I know.
I was like, are you serious? You just got done building it.
Makes me feel all European.
There is my co-star, Dee, on the left.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. And he's just got that look. He's the one that played Dracula, Dee, on the left.
Oh, what?
Oh,
well.
Wow.
Yeah, that,
oh my
yeah.
gosh.
Dee's the man. He's
as long as he didn't smile like that. That would have ruined everything.
He did. With his teeth, too. Yeah, he's the tall one in the rear.
You sure he's not the short one in the front?
I promise you he's the tall one.
So how did you get started in the whole acting business? When did you start?
My God. Well,
high school and get started in drama club and that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, I took theater classes in high school. And, you know, I was very introverted and very shy and very gothic. And I didn't quite fit in with the standard mold. I think what was in my high school was the little big hair cheerleader types that...
You were high school here? Or?
I went to high school at Shamrock over in Decatur.
Local.
Yes, local. I grew up here. Well, you know, I took theater. I was thinking in terms of more of an artistic drama, you know. Mm-hmm. And I went more with art. I studied art, visual art, graphic design. I went to the Art Institute of Atlanta to go to school. And I thought, well, you know, I think I'll just pursue this for a while. And then I started taking acting classes after high school in a more collegiate, more serious environment, I guess. The Alliance Theater was a place I started taking acting classes. And a wonderful, wonderful local teacher who's still around to this day, her name was Sandra Dorsey. And she taught Strasberg technique. And I don't know if you all know the theater, but Strasberg is a direct spinoff of Stanislavski. It's a method acting, and it's a technique on its own, but it's had its basis in Stanislavski. And I actually went to New York for about 6 months and studied Strasberg up there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the Strasberg studio. Oh, New York is a different world. Yeah. This little southern girl up there in Manhattan, and it's like, I don't regret it. You know, it was a learning experience, but I left New York and I just found myself in Northwest Florida from a job offer. And I worked in web design, graphic design. You know, I worked for the Yellow Pages, you know, making phone company ads and stuff. Did that for a couple of years. Lost my job in 2001.
Weird. The Yellow Pages is so great.
Yeah, they're excellent. Top notch.
I can hear the sarcasm in both of our voices.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, we all know what happened to Bell South. They became AT&T, and the rest is history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is funny, because about 10 years before that, they were AT&T and became Bell South.
Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, I got back into acting when I started associating kind of more with people in the arts and theater community, and I went to see some of their shows. I thought, wow, you know, this is maybe this is time for me to kind of come back in. I don't know if you guys have been around. Back in the early 2000s, up till about 2004, there was an arts and theater community called the Art Farm.
Oh, yeah. The name rings a bell. I mean, I went part
of it. You know
where
Wiley Street over is in the crack neighborhood of East Atlanta? It's just before you get to Carroll Street, right around Oakland Cemetery.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's now beautiful condos, but before that it was Murder Alley.
Yeah, right.
One but of there was there was a little building, old ramshackle warehouse called the Art Farm. There was a theater in there, and they had art studios. And I took in some shows there, and I thought, it's time to go back into theater. History of the Devil, Part 1, Frankenstein in Love, History of the Devil, Part 1, and Willem Reich in Hell was a series of three shows they did. And that was my, just the meal ticket right back into theater for me. I started auditioning in 2004. I was doing kids' theater, of all things children's theater. Living in Roswell, you know, you don't have things like the Art Farm in Roswell. You have Kudzu Playhouse, which is now defunct, which had been Village Playhouses of Roswell for several years. It became Kudzu Playhouse in Rosewater. You know, I was doing shows in rep, you know, up in that area, and I just started auditioning around. Went to the audition to the Unifieds, took classes. And it's just kind of been a steady climb throughout theater. And then when the film market started coming in here, I started kind of trying to network in that department. And it's just, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great show. You know, the guys' best shows are ones where they actually have guests. Huh. Maybe we should have more guests on the show. Just a thought. If you'd like to be on the show, follow us on facebook.com/achievingreality or look us up on podbean.com. For Chris, Larry, and Harvey, I'm Tina saying, Oh my god, I love those boots. They are so cute.
Are you looking for something to do this weekend? Do you love Shakespeare? Well, come on, who doesn't? Well, we have got a great idea for you. The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, abridged by the Live Arts Theater Company. It's all the Bard's most famous works in a fast-paced comedy full of laughs, physical comedy, and improv. It's hosted by the Live Arts Theater Company and being performed at the Live Arts Theater at 2100 Pleasant Hill Road, Duluth, Georgia, 30096. And you can grab your tickets at latshakespeare.brownpapertickets.com. That's latshakespeare.brownpapertickets.com. There will be fun for all and laughs aplenty. The Complete Works of William Shakespeare, abridged by the Live Arts Theater Company. Go and see it this weekend.